Everybody says they want to be a leader, but if nobody's following, you really aren't leading. So how do you get people to engage and want to follow so you can have the impact for you, your organization, and all you're involved with? That's what we're going to be talking about on the Speak and Get What You Want podcast with the great Lance Garvin. Lance, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing so great. I love being here. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. And you know, we're going to tackle something here today, Lance. A lot of people say, you know what, I'm a leader, I want to lead. But if you turn around and there's no one following, are you really a leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. And not really. There's nobody that you're leading. So,
in this ever-changing world that we're currently living in, what are some of the key ways to get people motivated so that you can inspire? Because great leaders, those who have real impact in people, whether you're in business or in any area of life, it's because you've inspired people to take action. Because people love people that inspire them to take action, because everyone wants to be the best version of themselves. So, what are some of the key ways that people can motivate others so that they can inspire them so that they can be a leader?
Yeah, I love that you asked that question too, because that is key. It's really key to understand what is it that actually does motivate the people that you're working with. I mean, you can be preaching money, money, money all day long. You can make this much money. You can, you know, get paid this way. You can, you know, whatever the case might be. And guess what? Maybe this person isn't necessarily motivated by money, or not motivated by money at all, you know? And so understanding what it is that drives them, what gets them out of bed in the morning, what's meaningful to them, what's important to them, and then using that in the way that you motivate and that you lead, that is a game changer and something that we see the great leaders do all the time.
Now, Lance, you've been teaching leadership and organizations for a long time. Do you see it shifting what motivates people? Maybe what motivated people 10 years ago doesn't motivate people today?
Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad you asked that, because yes, things can change. We've always known that motivators change over time. I mean, you think about where we're at in our careers right now, right? Early on, for a lot of us, recognition was important. We wanted to show that street cred. We wanted to show that we brought value and that we know what we're talking about. Things like that. I've talked with so many people who say, you know what, I've got a bunch of trophies and plaques and things like that. They're all out in my garage. I don't care about those anymore. Those aren't the things that get me excited, right? It's not the recognition. And yet, when do we show maybe some of the most recognition in somebody's career? At the end, right? When they're leaving. And they're like, gee, thanks, that was awesome. You know, but they don't really care. At that point, oftentimes it's some of the relationships that are more important, or the impact that they're having, things like that. And so we've seen, and we've done studies and reports on what it is that motivates these different generations, what changes over time for us. A number of things can change. Motivators not only change over time, but they can change literally overnight depending on what's going on in somebody's life, whether that's a relationship, their family, work, health, finances. I mean, we saw a lot of things shift over the pandemic, literally within 24 hours, depending on what was happening in somebody's life.
That's crazy to think about. And so you're saying that, you know, someone in their 40s, you motivate them different than someone in their 30s or someone in their 50s.
Yeah, just by understanding what it is that motivates them, right? Infusing that into what they're doing, you know, in work, or, you know, we focus more on the work environment and with employees, but in general, you know, if these are the things that motivate you, let's get more of that in your life to help keep things exciting and get you out of bed in the morning.
So when you're working with companies and organizations, Lance, are you seeing that people are struggling more with motivating employees and motivating people in general than they have in times past?
Yeah, right now is a super tough time. I mean, you have Gallup, who comes out with their, you know, state of employee engagement across the world. And it is usually pretty low overall for people. Rarely does it get very high at all. And so it just seems to continue to get lower and lower by varying degrees. in different regions of the world, and here in the U.S. too. And so, yeah, that is, it's a tough time. Our message has never been more relevant than it is right now in terms of how do you get people excited about the work that they're doing. A lot of organizations are requiring coming back to the office. People have gotten used to being at home, not being, you know, not having a whole lot of oversight in what they do. Some people had multiple jobs with multiple companies and the other companies didn't.
Have you come across quite a bit of that?
Yeah, we have seen that. Yep. They're working for 2-3 different organizations, collecting paychecks and really not doing hardly anything for any of them. So, but it was so easy for people to do, not having a boss down the hall anymore. And so, yeah, that's been quite a phenomenon.
That's crazy to think that people, you know, working for this company, and collectively they're making quite a bit of money.
Yeah. Hey, you work for XYZ company. I'm working with somebody with your exact same name at ABC company too. It's crazy.
And now what, why is that? Is it solely money? People are looking for.
Yeah, people found a cheat code in a sense to be able to make a little bit more money and be a little bit more lazy. Sadly, I think the pandemic created a new level of laziness in general for people, and they found they could do less work than they were doing when they go to the office in a lot of instances.
Okay, so that's interesting you use that phrase, a new level of laziness. So if you're trying to inspire others and you're trying to really be that leader, how do you overcome that new level of laziness that people, you know, may sunk into this level of comfort? How do you pull them out of that?
Yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, there are a number of different ways to do that. We recommend letting somebody go as the last resort because you've already worked hard to get them to be there. There's some costs associated with somebody leaving, you know, including their salary costs and some things like that, you know, related to that. Not to mention, you know, tribal knowledge and some things of that nature. But if you can hang on to them and kind of get them fired back up again, that's what we recommend doing. Maybe that involves what we call ad alter or transfer with their responsibilities. Maybe they're doing some things that they don't love at all, even though they're good at them. They could be really good, but your good people don't leave because they're not good at what they do. They leave because they're not engaged or excited about what they're doing. So how do you pair that with what somebody's excited about doing, what gets them engaged, what gets them, you know, excited to a new level to overcome that potential laziness or just disengagement overall? That's the key to making that happen.
And it really is. And a lot of people sit back, and I've heard this from leaders who say, look, I pay them to do that, you know, and you can't have that mentality anymore.
Yeah, no, you cannot. You know, there was a time in my life, I was making the most money I'd made up to that point in my life, in my career. And within a month, I was looking for a new job, and I gutted it out for 2 years at this place. And it got to a point where I told my wife, I said, you know what, I would, you know, and with all due respect to garbage truck drivers, but I said, I would rather drive a garbage truck for garbage truck pay than continue doing what I'm doing. I'm not tired.
Wow. And you were making as much money as you've ever made.
Yeah. Up to that point,
right,
in my career.
Right. So clearly money, and you're driven by money, as am I, but clearly money's not a big enough factor, because I think everybody falls into that trap of thinking, okay, if I throw enough money at this problem, it'll go away. Right. But you're saying that, and especially, I mean, I'm watching my children and I have adult children now. What inspires them is very different than what inspired me. And they want more experiences. They want to create greater impact.
Yeah, 100% they do.
Just going to say, so how do you tie the impact in to help people connect those dots?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to have what we call aspirational conversations. And those are made up of asking people, okay, you know what, now that I understand that these things are highly motivating to you, they're exciting to you, and they're important to you, how do we get more of that into the work that you're doing? you know? And so you start to have these meaningful conversations. I mean, what's funny is in general, you see a lot of conversations that occur between a manager and a direct report of, okay, what are you working on? How can I help you? Every once in a while you get a, how's the family doing? You know, when they're trying to be a super, super boss.
Right.
And rarely do you get into, okay, you know what, Chad, if I'm your manager, or you're my manager, and you say, hey, Lance, you know, what are the things that are frustrating to you? What are the things that we could remove based on what I see as your motivators? And how do we develop you into the person that you want to be based on what's exciting to you here at, you know, the company? How do we get more of that into the work that you're doing? And if possible, where possible, how do we remove some of the things that are frustrating to you and disengaging to you? I mean, how often does that conversation happen?
Rarely.
Not often enough, right? Yeah. So that's what we start to go in and do things with. And what's interesting is a lot of people, before they take, we use something called the Motivators Assessment. It's our proprietary assessment based on over a million people and their results and studies and interviews and all sorts of things, tons of data behind it. We use that to help people identify what are these things that motivate them and really to what degree, because otherwise you ask somebody, hey, what motivates you? Common answers are, you know, my family.
Sure.
Or I want to have impact or purpose. Some people joke, I do it for the money,
right.
You know, but you know what? I thought I did it for the money too, until I took this for the first time 11 years ago. And I've been in sales most of my career. And I thought, man, sales, because I'm a salesperson, money's going to come back as a top motivator
right.
for me. But I swear I don't do it for the money, but I'm a salesperson. So it's got to be the money. Right. And so after 30 seconds of, you know, going around in circles in my mind, I thought, well, let's just take it and see what comes out of it. And money came back as number 22 out of 23 for the motivators. And I thought, and I was interviewing to be the head of sales at that time for this organization.
Right.
And I'm like, I was like, I knew it. And then second, I was like, they are not going to want to hire me as head of sales because money's not important
That's
to
right.
me on this list.
That's right.
But, you know, family, friendship, challenge, those were three of my top motivators. And I had a great conversation with our original co-founders about that. And they said, okay, let's talk about that. How important is your family? Well, I do everything for them. Everything I do is for them. And they go, okay, great. You know what? You want to make a good living, but you're doing it for opportunities for your family is what the end of the conversation came to. Friendship. That's a big one for me. I mean, look at you and I, how long have we known each other?
Yeah, a lot of years.
20 plus
yes.
years, you know, and you know, these relationships are super meaningful for me. If we were to run into each other, you know, we don't talk all the time, but if we were to run into each other at the supermarket or somewhere like that, my gosh, Chad, how are you doing?
Right.
You know, pick up right where we left off, right? I mean, the people that I work with, I've been at their homes for dinner. They've been at my homes. That kind of thing is important to me. So friendship was right up there. Challenge. Say, hey, you know what? We need to start working with XYZ company. Man, I am going to get us in there or I'm going to die trying. You know, that's, you know, they know how to play that with me because challenge is a motivator, top motivator for me. And so that's, you start to understand those things and you can start to tap into that discretionary effort and that intrinsic motivation for people to get them going and get them on the right path to what you want them to do and what they ideally want to do.
I love that. And did you call them aspirational conversations?
Yes.
And I love that you do that because as you were sharing that, and I know we're talking specifically about inspiring the people you work around, but I was thinking about that in regards to your parenting or any sort of leadership that you're involved with. If you stop and really ask what motivates, I was thinking to myself, you know, my youngest children are in high school and one of them might be struggling in school or whatever it might be. And I'm just like, look, quit struggling. You know, go.
Yeah.
Go. Well, I don't have a good grade here. Well, I'm sorry. Just get a better grade, right? And
yeah.
that's not inspiring them. That's not helping them. That's not leading them. But when you mention that aspirational conversations, you're sitting down going, hey, let's talk through this. You know, Nick,
that's right.
Chase, Chandler, what is it that really is, you know, what are you passionate about? What do you love doing? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and you start having those conversations, you'll get to the root of what's really driving them. And then if you can connect that to where you want to see their performance improve, that's game changing.
That's exactly right. And you were hired. That was nice.
No, but that was Lance is crazy.
No, seriously. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's simple.
We don't, you know what? We all know, and we talk about on the podcast all the time, everyone's favorite subjects themselves, right? We know that. But then we don't ever really leverage it. You know, we're like, oh, that person's favorite subjects themselves. Let me talk about me for a minute, right? But we know that they're worried about their situation. They're worried about their life. But we never take the time to really ask them and have those aspirational conversations. I would guess that if you went across America right now and asked how many leaders are truly having these aspirational conversations that you're talking about here, there would be, 1% to zero.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you think about the leaders that you've had over your life, and they may or may not have been great technicians, right? Great at spreadsheets or great at this or that, what people classify as the hard skills, or the technical skills. But it was the leaders that were impactful to you that helped you the most that were probably masters of the soft skills of having conversations like this, of getting to know their people and understanding them, and then moving forward accordingly based on what they knew. And as I say this, you probably have, some people come to mind of who those individuals were in your
life. That's crazy. But that's crazy because right as you said that, I thought in my mind, Ted Gibbons. Ted Gibbons was a leader I had many years ago, that when my wife would come in, he would pause and just say, "Cassie, how are you?" And just ask. And she'd be like, "Good." And he's like, "Chad told me this, this, and this. I hope you're doing," And it was crazy. And then Cassie would come to my office and be like, "He's amazing. He's great," right? Why? Because Cassie walked by him and thought to herself, "Wait a second, his favorite subject's my favorite subject, me." Because he just asked those questions.
Yes.
And so if you were, Lance, if you were to sit down with a leader who's struggling and just saying, I'm struggling with these individuals, if you just ask them that question, then I'm so glad you brought up here, is how often are you having aspirational conversations?
Yeah, that's right. And to your point, it's not very often at all.
Well, a lot of it, Lance, is probably, and your research would probably support this, is the questions you're asking.
Correct. And a lot of people don't know how to ask those questions or what questions to ask. They've kind of seen a model of it's been passed down, like I mentioned before, okay, what are you working on? How can I help? It's the same old stuff.
And you say, "How can I help?" Okay, but that's kind of a misleading question because that means that you're showing some weakness, right? So even if I need your help, Lance, you haven't had enough aspirational conversations with me to where we've built up any sort of trust, right?
Right. Yeah. That is so true. I mean, what if I need some help with something? I'm in a jam, but I'm embarrassed to even mention it to you, or I'm nervous that if I say it, you'll think that I'm weak and that I'm not doing what you hired me to do. So you've got to build that relationship. And this is such a great way to do that. Having these beforehand up to that point.
Okay. But you said something that was interesting there a moment ago. You said most people don't know what questions to ask. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's like the typical questions, how many people look forward to having a one-on-one with their boss? Most people don't. Yeah. And so it's because they ask those questions that are not really meaningful. But what if, purpose was one of your top motivators.
Okay.
And I say, "Hey, Chad, you know what? Purpose shows up as one of your top motivators here. Tell me more about that. What does that mean to you? How can we help support you feeling more purpose in your life and what you're doing here at work? Tell me a little bit about that."
You know, it's interesting. That phrase that you used just at the beginning there, everyone's like, all these leaders and people listening are saying, "Well, I don't know. Okay, what questions do I ask?" And you just ask one simple question and then you use that phrase, "Tell me more. Tell me more about that." And that shows like I'm interested Because most of the time in life, when we have conversations, someone asks you a question, it starts back glance with the, hey, how are you? Fine. Good. How are you? Good. Right. And we're on our way. Right. No one's really interested. But when someone stops and says, that's interesting you say that, tell me more about that, people will open up and tell you everything.
They will. They will. And it's so easy. It's so easy. I mean, you know, one of the skills that you can also say is you say, you know what, I love to be involved in the community. Mm-hmm. Involved in the community? If I just repeat it and kind of ask it, what are you going to say? You're going to tell me more as well, right?
I love that.
There's simple, easy ways to really understand your people. That is the crux of it all. That's where it all comes down to, is understanding your people.
And you know, what's interesting is when you do that, when you take the time to just really understand other people, and I'm telling you, and I tell my kids this in high school, all the way up to those that are out in the workforce, I just tell them, I say, listen, if you will just stop and listen to people and really ask what you say or have what you're saying here with these aspirational conversations, you'll be able to do whatever you want in this world, because everyone will love you because your favorite subject's their favorite subject, right? Themselves. And so if you just pause and ask, and I love that you bring that up. And when you said that, just repeating their last few words, involved in the community, that means you're actually listening to what they're saying, because no one listens to anybody anymore, right? Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon, Lance, to be in the middle of a conversation with someone and they pick up a phone and start texting somebody else.
I see it far too often.
And you'll have leaders do that as well. And then the leaders get frustrated and then they go and fire someone. And I love jumping back to what you said earlier in the podcast. You were saying, don't just go and fire people. Don't just go and get rid of people. Do the hard work to actually make that individual better.
That's right. Yeah. And it's not always the easy route to go, at least not at first. But when you can do that, I mean, think about the impact that you have on that person as a human being, first and foremost, you know, let alone the result that creates for the organization too. If you can help them and you can get them back on track and help them find fulfillment in what they do just by making a few simple adjustments. One of the phrases that we live by here in our company, we're called Find Mojo. That's our company. And one of the phrases that we live by is simple wins the day. You know, just keep it simple. If it's complex, it takes more runway. It takes more memory. It takes more RAM. You know, it takes longer, and the chances of success are so much less than if it's simple, it's quick, and it's immediately implementable.
I love that. Simple wins the day. I mean, I've heard the phrase and often used from Bertrand Russell, a philosopher who said, people would rather die than think, right? And they don't want to think. And you just really summed it up there. Simple wins the day. Yeah. So Lance, as we wrap up today, I just want you to share with us, if you were to say one thing to someone who says, you know what, I really want to be a leader. I want to lead. That's my goal, right? When you talk to the young people, they'll say, especially, and if you were to address even that younger generation, those who are maybe at college age or getting out of college, and they say, I want to be a leader, you would tell them this: in order to be a great leader, you need to do this. And what would you say?
To your people first. You are a people leader over anything else. Take care of your people and they will take care of the rest. I mean, we use the phrase all the time as well that the client experience will never exceed that of the employee experience. If your employees are happy and they're being taken care of, your clients will be happy and taken care of. If they're not, your clients will not be taken care of either. So it's a simple formula.
You know, and that's such a powerful point for everyone to remember, because we get caught up in this AI tech-driven world. And at the end of the day, people are looking and seeking those human to human interactions, and people want to matter. And, you know, I love that you share that insight, because at the end of the day, leadership does come down to caring for your people and helping elevate them to their highest level. And so they can achieve what they want to achieve. And as, you know, Zig Ziglar once said, you can have anything in this world you want if you help enough people get what they want.
That's right. Words to live by right
there. I love that. Lance, I love what you shared. I loved your insights. We've got to do this again. You have so much
information.
Appreciate your time. Have a tremendous day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Yeah.